So now it's time to talk with our guest, Dr. Daniel Dick. And what if everything you thought about behavior is wrong? She's an internationally acclaimed behavioral genetics researcher from Rutgers University and author of The Child Code. And we'll talk a little bit about how a person's genetic code may matter a lot more than you may have originally thought. So get ready to rethink everything that you thought you knew about parenting, personality, risk, and how it plays out in an entrepreneurial role. So maybe you can explain to our audience succinctly and in simple terms what your research is about.
Basically, I study how our genes and our environments come together to shape life outcomes. A lot of my work focuses on addiction and mental health. I direct a large university-wide addiction research center at Rutgers. But I entered this kind of entrepreneurial world because when I became a parent, I, oh the irony, found myself raising the high-risk child that I study, highly impulsive, highly emotional. And that's when I realized that so much of what we take for granted in the research world, our basic understanding of how almost all behavior is a product of both our genes and our environments, was really just not out there in all of the wealth of information for parents. You know, we have parenting blogs and books and influencers, and they were all talking about all the things parents could and should be doing, but nobody seemed to be talking about the role that genes played in our kids' behavior. And I thought that was a huge mistake. For me, knowing that research really was kind of what saved my sanity when I was going through so many challenges with my son. And I looked around and I saw so many other smart, capable friends who were parents, you know, wondering what they were doing wrong or what was wrong with their child, if their child was not being the dreamy, well-behaved child we all imagine having before we have children. And so that's really what led me to think about how do we do more to get research to the people who can use it? And that included writing a book and, you know, now co-founding a company and being an advisor on several other companies. But that's really what started this journey for me.
Well, it's funny that you talk about that because we have these stories from when our son was little. He climbed up to the top of this slide and fell off. Richard had him at the playground. And then when they got home, I was home. He was crying his head off. I'm like, oh, what happened? He's like, well, he fell off the slide. Oh, he's like, that's not why he's crying. He's crying because I wouldn't let him go back up. And so now our son has two kids and his baby has to wear a helmet because he climbs and the other one does too. And so it's like, did they get that climbing gene from him? That kind of seems like it, right?
Yes. In our field, we say everyone is an environmentalist until they have their second child. And then they realize, I'm doing all the same things. Why is one turning out so different from the other, for example? And I think that's one of the easy ways that, you know, we can, as parents, start to see and wrap our head around this idea that they are not just, you know, little lumps of clay waiting to be molded by, you know, the well intentions of their parents, that in fact, our genes influence our brain development. And that influences, you know, the way our brains are wired, which is what contributes to, you know, all these amazing differences we see between people in their behavior, why some kids and adults are more impulsive than others, you know, or more anxious than others. And Alan was talking about being a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. You know, my father is a retired general, was a fighter pilot. And you know, lo and behold, so the fact that I have this highly risk-taking, sensation-seeking child who his father, my brother are in fact all fighter pilots. You know, another example of how genetic predispositions can kind of run through families there.
Wow, that sounds like the dream family to me, a bunch of fighter pilots. But I did want to ask, how do genes influence behavior and what behaviors do they influence?
Genetic influences show up very early in development. So we start to think about stable genetic influences on things like temperament or personality as starting to emerge around age 3 or so. And by that, I mean a lot of kids' behavior, you know, before that is really just a product of kind of early brain development. But around age three, you start to see stable differences emerging between people, right? And so all kids, for example, get upset or get anxious or nervous sometimes. But when you see behavior that's consistent across settings and across people, so i.e., it's not just the child who, like, shrinks behind their parent's leg when a dog starts snarling at them. Okay, well, that's a normal fear response. But it's the child who's afraid to be dropped off at kindergarten, afraid to, try the new slide on the playground, afraid when they're meeting a new person. When you start to see these kind of stable, consistent behaviors, that usually starts to emerge around three and then continues into and throughout our lives. Now, that's not to say the environment doesn't play a role. Of course it does. But when it comes to thinking about, for example, kids, recognizing that they're all different, their brains are all wired differently, which also means some things are going to come naturally to some kids and some things are not. And so we can really tailor our parenting to what our kids need most and what will work best for each of our kids by being mindful of kind of the way that they're wired. And that's a lot of what my book is about kind of a little bit of the research and science behind how we know kids' behavior is genetically influenced, some surveys about trying to figure out where your child falls on kind of some of these big genetically influenced dimensions, things like impulsivity, emotionality, extroversion, et cetera. And then thinking about what do we know about what parenting strategies work best for kids with different temperamental styles whose brains are essentially wired differently. So it's one of the ways I'm trying to use research to essentially help individuals in their parenting and more broadly. I think there's a variety of ways we can do better at getting research to people to be able to use it.
So if there's a child that is shy.
Shyness is interesting because shyness is actually a combination of being nervous around other people, but actually wanting to interact with other people. So that is something that has, a lot of environmental influences too. So if we're thinking about kind of the more genetically influenced underlying temperament, it might be a child who's more introverted, for example, who is not naturally, wanting to be around other kids or, or more maybe a little fearful, who doesn't naturally want to kind of join in with a group of, kids on the playground or whatnot. And when I talk about tailoring parenting to your unique child, it doesn't mean that you're letting the child drive, what they're doing and what you're doing as a parent. But it's the equivalent of if your child was not doing well in algebra, you wouldn't send them to time out, right? Or say, just do it. Come on, like do more algebra. You can do this. They actually need to learn the skills of algebra. And so if you have a child who is naturally, say, more fearful, then, saying, well, come on, join the group, go right in. For some kids, they naturally can do that. For other kids, you actually need to teach them the skills that maybe don't come naturally. Now, you're probably not going to take, for example, a more introverted child and convert them into someone who wants to be dancing on tabletops, right? But can you essentially help them with the skills to be able to join a work reception and, mingle and interact with some other folks? Absolutely. And so we talk about that as reaction range, meaning we have genetic dispositions, but where we land in terms of how those actually play out in real life, we can certainly move kids in where they land, but we can probably only move them so much, right? You're not going to totally change a child's personality, and you wouldn't want to, right?
No,
That's
you wouldn't. You wouldn't. And I just want to remind our audience quickly that we're speaking with Dr. Danielle Dick, an internationally recognized behavioral genetics researcher at Rutgers University here in New Jersey, and author of The Child Code and co-founder of Thrive Genetics. And I wanted to ask you, since this is a show about entrepreneurism, which you're here with your book, so you fit right in, but I wanted to ask you a question about entrepreneurs. Do you feel like people are born to be entrepreneurs? I mean, you know that we have Neil on the show, and Neil is what, had 20 companies or something. Is that born into you? Can you learn that? What do you think?
So virtually every complex behavior, whether we're talking about impulsivity, addiction, probably entrepreneurship, right? Virtually everything that's been studied is partly genetic and partly environmental. And so I would imagine, this is now me, conjecturing. I can't, conjure up a research study, in particular about entrepreneurism. They're probably out there, but there are genetically influenced traits which are beneficial, right? So, for example, we know that risk-taking is something that is genetically influenced, and many successful entrepreneurs are a little higher on risk-taking because you have to take some calculated risks and be willing to tolerate that. That's a genetically influenced trait that probably helps folks who are entrepreneurs, or maybe, makes some folks more interested in going into, entrepreneurship and starting businesses. That said, of course, the environment always plays a role. It can play a role in, in the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune in terms of how our businesses unfold and how our lives unfold.
Yeah, I mean, clearly events matter. And if you could be successful at one thing one time and not necessarily be successful again and then get discouraged and then avoid that activity, or you could be, very stubborn about it and just continue on that path until, you get it. And so I certainly feel like my life, my professional life and personal life have been influenced by events, and that it's influenced my behavior, right? And how I respond to things, my mood, the way I approach people. And so, what percentage of life do you think is determined by genetics versus the environment?
There are all kinds of studies that have looked at exactly that question. And on average, a rule of thumb is about 50% of the variability between people is due to differences in their DNA, and 50% is due to differences in their environment. Now, that does not mean for any one person, right? So the fact that I became an entrepreneur or I became a researcher doesn't mean that half of that is due to my genes and half is due to my environment. It means across the population, we are all our own unique combination. The way that we kind of help people conceptualize this, and it makes, I think, a lot more sense if you're thinking about it with respect to something like substance use or mental health challenges, right? But it's true of any outcome. If you think of, okay, why do some people develop substance use problems? We know that it's partly genetic, partly environmental, but imagine we all have a mental health jar. Like if you're picturing those clear mason, glass mason jars, right? And when that jar is full, that's when somebody is experiencing problems, right? So they're in the throes of addiction or they have depression or anxiety. Well, what can fill up your jar? Partly genetics. So imagine you're going to drop some marbles in the bottom of that jar. Some people start life with just a few marbles. The other things that can go in
I've
there,
lost all mine.
well, yeah, I know, right? If you have just a few marbles, you might encounter a lot of environmental rocks, and that can lead to your jar being full and having problems, right? You might, on the other hand, have a jar that's three quarters of the way full. So you have a lot of genetic risk, and then it doesn't take as much of the environment. But we're all kind of our own unique combination. And that's true of virtually every life outcome, right? Part of it's our genes, part of it's the environment. But what it is for each one of us is going to be our own unique combination.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating. We're with Dr. Daniel Dick from Rutgers University, author of The Child Code. We have to take a commercial break. We'll be back. Don't forget to experience more of Passage to Profit by subscribing to us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube, or subscribe to our podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. Just look for the Passage to Profit show on any of these platforms. We'll be back soon with AI in business, intellectual property news, and secrets of the entrepreneurial mind. So stay tuned.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet, protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-261-2176. 800-261-2176. That's 800-261-2176.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance. 800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. That's 800-652-1470.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Danielle Dick. We're going to finish her interview, and then we have two other presenters who are awesome as well. But right now, we want to dive into the company that Dr. Dick founded that's just doing amazing things. So what is the name of your company?
Thrive Genetics.
And what are you doing with that?
So one of the things that I have become passionate about is that we need to do more to get research to people who can use it. And so in my own area, a lot of my work focuses on projects where we are identifying the specific genes involved in why some people are more at risk for substance use and other behavioral addictions than others. And we've made radical progress. So we can now scan the entire genome. We have found thousands of genetic variants that increase risk. We can add them all up and weight them by how big of an effect each one has to create a genetic risk score for any individual now. And not only that, we know a ton about what are the early behaviors, some of the things we were talking about earlier that are in my book. What are the early behaviors and the environments that are most predictive of who goes on to develop problems? And so we can put this information together to powerfully differentiate how at risk people are for developing a problem. For example, people with the highest levels of genetic, behavioral, environmental risk, 84% of them go on to develop a substance use disorder. People with the lowest levels of risk, 4% do. But there was no way to get all of this amazing information, these huge discoveries that we have made over the last decade or so, out of scientific journals and to people who could actually use this information. I'm a strong believer that knowledge is power because we know that genes are not destiny. So if you know you are more at risk, you can proactively take steps to reduce the likelihood you'll ever develop problems. And that's what we're doing at Thrive Genetics, is taking this research and bringing it to people so they can understand their addiction risk profile to either prevent problems or to have more tailored treatment and recovery programs to really sustain long-term positive outcomes.
I love the program and what you're doing. What is the business model for getting the information out there? Are you publishing papers? Are you doing tests for people? How do people actually find out what their profile is and how do you get that information to them?
So we have built a platform. It's available online. You can essentially fill out a short survey. It's those behavioral and environmental factors that we know are most predictive of risk. You can spit in a tube or swab your cheek. We send these at-home test kits, send it back to the lab. We scan the genome, create those genetic risk scores, put it all together. And we worked, by the way, with psychiatric genetic counselors and whatnot on how to present this information so it's understandable to the average person. And so we put it all together to give this kind of risk profile, what it means, and then what you can do to reduce risk. I talked earlier about my big mistake. I thought, well, this is great. Let's just get this out to people, direct to consumer. And actually, the whole how are you going to make money in a business? What is a viable marketing strategy, et cetera? As a researcher, that's not something that I naturally think about. My husband is ironically the entrepreneur in this family, and he would say, okay, but how is this going to make money and who's going to pay for it? And I would say, oh, but it's just to help people. And he would say, okay, but there has to be a business model here. And this is really where my co-founder and the CEO of the company, whose background is in business, he really then did a lot of the legwork to explore where are places where this could be useful. And one of the places where right now we're getting the most traction is, interestingly, in oncology treatment, because in particular, neck and throat cancers, the treatments are so painful that opioids need to be prescribed to reduce pain so that individuals can endure their treatments. Because there is so much awareness now about the addictive properties of opioids and, the dangers of addiction, what they're finding, the doctors are finding, is that patients are reticent to take the opioids. They're concerned about addiction. So what that means is if they're not taking opioids alongside their radiation treatments, it's so painful that often they can't continue with these life-saving treatments, and that prolongs the treatment. They end up rehospitalized, et cetera. And so it's also taking a lot of time to convince patients that, we can manage this. And, obviously, it's not like everyone becomes addicted who takes opioids. And so the fact that we can actually create these risk profiles to help people understand, are they one of that, small group of people who is at risk, at higher risk for addiction, that can be used to essentially put a lot of people's minds at ease so that they can essentially do the best practice treatment, which is accompanied by opioids and pain management. And for those that are at high risk, they can more closely monitor them and discuss other pain relief medications that could be used. So that's really what we're working on right now. And we're about to partner and start running some clinical trials with different hospitals to look at how that impacts patient outcomes when we can deliver that information to them.
Well, that's very powerful.
That's very powerful. So we have
Yes.
to wrap up the segment, Dr. Dick. It's been just fabulous talking with you. We love your vision for helping people identify their risk profile around addiction because that's such an important problem. How can people find you or find out about Thrive Genetics?
So you can visit our website, thrivegenetics.ai. You can also find more information about our ongoing research in addiction at addiction.rutgers.edu. And my own personal website is danielledick.com, where I make a lot of resources available for parents and where you can find my book.
Awesome.